Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has there entered into the minds of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. For He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? He has done exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think, for we have the mind of Christ. We continue this morning in our study of the concept of freedom by the founding fathers. Rammer jammer, y'all. Bama's back and Texas is toast. I do have an announcement to make before we begin our study. Our good friend and longtime member of Grace Doctrine Church, going all the way back, I think, to its inception, John Smith, will have heart surgery this coming Thursday morning, I believe, at St. Luke's Hospital. And your prayers for John and the success of the surgery, the expertise of the doctors and the caregivers are solicited. So please remember John in your prayers beginning now and through the surgery early on Thursday morning. We are, as I've noted, in our study of the concept of freedom by the founding fathers. We have noted a brief introduction to this, followed that up by why study history. There's not enough history studied today, and therefore graduates of high school and university are not familiar with the concept of freedom by the founding fathers, the thought process that went into the foundational documents, the mental attitude, the disposition of these men, the debates that went on, and the foundation of those debates, which take us back to four major cities of history, beginning with Jerusalem and then Athens, and then Rome, and then London. And all of the best aspects of these four civilizations are discussed and debated by the founders, and all of these things were evaluated at Philadelphia, coming together in first the Declaration and then the Constitution. So that's why we study history. The third concept was the American culture's Christian foundation, and a lot of details were given in that particular section. And we're presently studying concept four, the colonist rationale for independence. And our mandate as Christians is to submit to governmental authorities unless the violation of inflexible principles of divine revelation is imposed upon us by government. These are concepts we noted in closing in our last study on Thursday. And it's important to remember and to point out that we are submissive to governmental authorities. We'll bring that out in today's study. And as we are submissive to governmental authorities, that means that even under the horrible leadership that occurs from time to time in human government, we still must be submissive. This is a hard concept for free people to grasp, but you must remember that Jesus Christ, when He was functioning in the Incarnation, He functioned during the reign of Tiberius. And Tiberius ultimately went away, and during the majority of the time that the New Testament was being composed and written by the human authors, you had Nero in charge at Rome. These were two of many horrible rulers that seized the throne of Rome during its 1,000-year history. But nevertheless, they submitted. And Paul, as a result, wound up submitting to two prison sentences in Rome and ultimately being decapitated, since he was a Roman citizen, under the aegis of Nero. Therefore, we must orient and adjust to what the world requires of us. Jesus Christ controls history on our behalf. Never forget that. I mentioned on our Thursday night study that I saw glimmers of hope with regard to our current national dilemma, and was asked, what glimmer could that possibly be? Well, my glimmer is this, is that the whole global warming fiasco and fraud has been exposed into the clear light of day. And that says to me that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the game. And if He's in the game on that, He's in the game on the rest of it. So you just keep doing your duty and plugging away. Jesus Christ controls history. He's in the game, and we'll see how far He is willing to take it. That will contend upon your orientation and pursuit of truth in your current spiritual life. Through nonviolent civil disobedience, however, we are to stand fast with truth while being submissive to whatever penalty clause the state desires to impose upon us. We must obey the law, but there is a caveat, and that is when human law confronts an inflexible principle of the Word of God. And at that point, you must make a stand and be willing to take the punishment that human rulership would impose upon you. You can never deny Christ. You can never deny the gospel. You can never deny doctrine, the inflexible principles of doctrine. And when law decrees that you must take a stand and be willing to take whatever punishment human law decrees. That is the obligation you have to your heavenly polituma. You're a visitor here in the devil's world. This is not your world. Your world is a heavenly world. It is a citizenship and a heavenly polituma. Your obligation is to Christ. He will protect you. He will provide for you. He will sustain you. You are aliens here on this earth. You represent Him as His ambassador. And therefore, you represent yourself to God as a royal priest. Orient to these things, for it will give you peace in your soul and will give you guidance on how you are to conduct and direct your life. You, therefore, must have wisdom in order to function in a period of history that we now confront. Presently, far too many have eyes to see but do not see the signs of impending danger to our liberty, nor do they have ears to perceive the deceitful lies contained in every public profession announced by our political class. Fair warning is contained in Patrick Henry's famous address before the Virginia House of Burgesses in 1775. He spoke the following: "It is natural for men to indulge in the illusions of hope. We're apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth and listen to the song of the siren till she transforms us into beasts. Is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be of the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not the things which so nearly concern their temporal salvation? For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it might cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and provide for it." And Henry, discerning the harbingers of impending war, concluded his famous Liberty or Death speech at the convention with these prophetic words: "Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston." Thanks to the grace of God, the United States has maintained a cool and pleasant oasis between Eden and the millennium, where the waters of freedom have flowed unrestrained for over two centuries. Yet the one who made it so is vilified, he is scoffed, he's censored as a relic of some heathen pantheon. No righteous God will disregard such impertinence forever. We have every right to ask, how long, O God, will you have mercy on those who blaspheme your name? Hang on to that idea. Justice will come down like a mighty stream. Your job is to stay positive and to continue to move forward in the plan of God. We have the confidence of knowing that as long as we serve Him, our Lord will preserve us in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation in which we are obligated to serve as lights to the world. Our national anthem contains recognition of divine blessings upon our client nation, and we observe this verse every time we have a patriotic holiday to observe. And here are the first four lines of verse 4. "Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation." That's Jesus Christ controlling history in that line. "Then conquer we must when our cause it is just." That would be inflexible principles being violated. "And this be our motto, in God is our trust." Pytho is the word for trust in Scripture, and it means confidence. We have confidence that Jesus Christ controls history, that we're in His plan, that history turns on the pivot. And we are a pivot, at least pivot potential. Let's don't get arrogant and assume we're there. Your job is to never assume you're in the pivot. Your job is to assume you still have a ways to go. And therefore, your pursuit of truth becomes priority one. Now, the obvious divine mission of a client nation, the preservation of an environment for freedom for all of us, and therefore the objective documented by our founding fathers, are presently being ignored by the beneficiaries of their noble efforts. It is interesting to me, and I'm sure it is to you, to note how people flaunt their freedom today. They take advantage of it, and in fact, now we're in the process of distilling it down to tyranny. They do not appreciate all of the sufferings, all of the ordeal, the mental stress of challenging the King of England, which they did not want to do, but ultimately deciding that it had to be done, and therefore declaring independence. These men put their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on the line. And you've heard the tale, I'm sure, of the horrible consequences that came to so many of the signers of the Declaration and of the Constitution, primarily the Declaration. Their lives came under a great deal of stress because of their willingness to stand for principle and for doctrine. And we are the beneficiaries. And we are allowing ourselves, and also as we observe others within the Commonwealth, to abuse and take advantage of that freedom and to in many ways vote to have it restricted, restrained, and in some cases abolished. And it is a sad, therefore, state for a client nation. So today, an ungrateful and egocentric people exploit the advantages granted them by the sweat, pain, blood, and lives of their ancestors. They have done nothing to prolong the freedom they enjoy, while they do all within their distorted souls to erase it from history. There is a horrible set of consequences going on in our country today. The rejection of truth and the vicious attack on Christianity, Christ, believers, the Bible, the Word of God, its doctrines, all of this seems to be very popular today. And if you claim to be a Christian, you will be in many ways looked upon with disdain as foolish. Well, not many mighty are chosen. People today, in order to pacify their every lust, beg and plead for government to bind them anew in the same shackles the Declaration sought to unlock. They beg to be chained again. They want to submit their lives to a tyrannical government so that they don't have the personal responsibility that is required to maintain freedom. You must be personally responsible for your life. And you can get it out of your mind that there's going to be somebody out there to help you. There well may be, and they may well help you on the occasion. But who is it that will stay with you thick and thin from this moment on to the day of your death? Who is it that you can depend upon to do that? There's no one but the Lord Jesus Christ who is dedicated to that objective. Others may help you today and betray you tomorrow. And whatever they do for you today will be gone in due time. And you will need to therefore suck up to someone anew. What you need is the confidence and the courage that comes to an individual soul when they understand the reality and the truth that Jesus Christ is the one who is with you. He will sustain you from this day forward on into eternity. Believe that and trust in Him. Get your mind off needing anyone else but Christ. People today, in order to pacify their every lust, beg and plead for government to bind them anew with the same shackles the Declaration sought to unlock. And therefore, we are a disordered lot. We're mindless wimps led by false prophets who have brought in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. As a nation, we're wimps. I think that Fred Thiebaud is a true believer. His parents were missionaries, or I gather they still are. And he has been a great testimony for Christ during his very popular, famous, record-setting career at the University of Florida. Peace be among them. But yesterday was not a good testimony. You take your whippings and you do it with chin up. You do it with confidence. They played better than we did. He said that, but was his heart in it? Do you know that these players go to classes to learn how to respond to questions posed by the doofy and the media? If they ask you this, you say that. If they ask you that, you say this. And they rehearse them on it. I mean, Mark Ingram, it was almost like reading a teleprompter yesterday. You know exactly what he was going to say. Well, we did our best. We just wanted to beat Florida, and they have a great team, and we gave our all. And you record this stuff. But when you put yourself up on the front line as a witness for Christ, which magnificently he did for 3 years down at Florida, and then at the end, when you are getting creamed, you stand with your shoulder up and you look out there and you say, they are better than we are. And you go shake the hand of the guy that beat you. So I was disappointed in that. So we are a disordered lot of mindless wimps, led by false prophets who have brought in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. I don't mean to imply that Fred did that, but I didn't like his attitude at the end of that game. He had a great opportunity to stand there with great confidence and offer some biblical concept with regard to losing. The dreaded result of all of this is that those who valiantly and courageously seek to uphold freedom are castigated as being out of touch with modern society. Be out of touch then. Who wants to be a part of this modern society? This is nothing to be a part of. They hurl invectives at you because you're a Christian. You, with honor, verbalize a response that criticizes the environment we live in, not the individuals. Let God take care of them. But this environment in which we function needs to be criticized in a very distinct but honorable way. Verbalize it as you would. Do not become critical and do not sound bitter, but make it clear that we're living in an environment that is not going to lead to a good end. Peddlers of this modern society are the self-appointed anointed who have systematically conquered those of us whom they label as the unwashed benighted. And that's you. How do you like being classified as the unwashed benighted? Well, badge of honor to be called that now. Their lust for power has been transformed into a lust to control and regulate the lives of the masses whom they abhor. You are abhorred. That's a badge of honor, to be abhorred by the hoi polloi. The destruction of capitalism by means of socialism will transform our society into a totalitarian regime led by an elite and wealthy oligarchy. And when the oligarchy controls the show, you're well on the road to totalitarianism. It's all about the money. Capitalism is the biblical system of economy. But no system can sustain arrogance. No system can sustain people within it who are evil. There are those who have made a lot of money in their time, and they're using the power that comes with the money to destroy the freedom of the many so that they can therefore sequester themselves as cock of the walk. I speak of such lowlifes as George Soros, who made his money on the collapse of other people's economies. He's up to that here. The Lord has put a lot of things in place for us to utilize. Everything can be abused. The Bible that we honor and study, it can be abused. I recently was on a trip and stayed in a cabin, not the rustic kind you might think. It was a really nice cabin. And it had a television set in it. And I started clicking through the channels as I'm wont to do to try and find ESPN. And never put a sign anywhere to tell you where ESPN is, so you have to run through all the channels. And I ran through this guy who was preaching. He was really working himself up into a lather. And so I stopped and I just wanted to see where he was going with this. Oh my goodness. He had rapt attention to the people in that congregation. He had people up on the rostrum with him, and he pranced around like a banty rooster all over the place, like he had hives or something. And he was sweating. He was sweating like the middle of July. And he had his Bible in the W position. And he was all over the place, and all it was about was telling these people that if they wanted prosperity, they had to cough up money to his church. That's all it was about. Now, that's evil. It's wrong. It's out of line. And God is going to take those doofy that were sitting in that congregation, and they're going to ante up. And they're all involved in promoting and financing and underwriting evil. They didn't have the doctrinal moxie to filter incoming data. And they bought into it. Every system can be distorted by the evils of men. Lucifer has a plan to fight every system that has been put in place, the legitimate as well as the evil. All legitimate systems can be contorted and distorted and brought to nothing if the arrogance of men are in control of that system. Capitalism is the biblical system of economy, but it can be distorted, it can be utilized to enslave men. So there needs to be honor in whatever we do. And in a client nation that is a republic as such as ours, a republic cannot be sustained unless there's integrity among the people. And when integrity is lost among the greater majority of the population, a republic cannot be sustained. And with it, a client nation. So the destruction of capitalism by means of socialism will transform our society into a totalitarian regime led by an elite and wealthy oligarchy. In the process, great men who have a true concern for the general welfare of this client nation are made to appear as despots. They're critics, and would-be despots themselves, eager to restructure the most successful governmental enterprise ever devised by the minds of men. Hell-bent to destroy it. They view the Constitution and the Declaration as relics that should be moved from the National Archives over the Smithsonian and put on display as an ancient document that we would look at as if it were the Magna Carta or the Rosetta Stone. Pseudo-intellectual arrogance has seared their consciences and produced vacuous souls. They are vacuous in their thoughts. Although intelligent with regard to degrees, they go to their Ivy League schools and they get their degrees and tack on that alphabet at the end of their names. And they're very smart in what they know, but what they know is evil. PhDs in evil. It should be a D.E. degree, doctor of evil. You see a Ph.D. today, just think, D.E., not driver's ed, doctor of evil. And therefore, they would be Dr. Evil. pseudo-intellectual arrogance has seared their consciences and produced vacuous souls. And so with great pomposity, they elevate themselves as learned judges of eminent luminaries such as our founding fathers. They judge them. They despise them. And I'm not making that up. Progressive ideology confronts the concepts and the ideas of freedom that were subscribed to by our founders. They don't like freedom. They want to control you. They like the freedom that their power gives them. But their major lust pattern is power. So, the founders were guided by doctrine. They sought to offer to the world the best ideas from time-proven applications of previous civilizations. Now, we've taken a look at the concept of evolution before. And really, that idea comes into this paragraph. Let me read it again, and then I'll elaborate. Pseudo-intellectual arrogance has seared their consciences, that's the ruling elite, and produced vacuous souls. With great pomposity, they elevate themselves as learned judges of eminent luminaries such as the founding fathers. I've told you the mentality, the education of our founders. They were multilingual. They studied the ancient documents, classical writings, going back not only to what we would call the classical writings of the scriptures all the way back to Moses, but also the great writings of the Greek classical writers, Roman luminaries such as Cicero, whom we've noted, and all the way down to London, where all of this was amalgamated originally and then transferred to Philadelphia. They judge these people, saying that they are out of line. We're much smarter. How do people get the idea that they're smarter than these men who founded this country, who had such broad educational backgrounds and knowledge of so many different civilizations, and got together and discussed what worked and what didn't in these societies, and chose what worked and infused that into our foundational documents, and therefore organized this nation that has been very successful over 2 1/3 centuries? How do they get there? Well, evolution. Evolutionary subscribers look on history as something that does not need to be considered. Why is that? Where did they get that idea? Well, because we all started as a little blot of goo. And the goo added a little something, and it became a nothing kind of a thing, just floating around in the water, the primordial goo. And all of a sudden it flops out on the shore, and it thinks, well, this is different from swimming, and therefore I need to walk, and I'm going to concentrate real hard on legs, and I'll get me some legs, and then I can move around. And this goes on and on and on for billions upon billions upon billions of years. And all of a sudden, eyeballs pop out. And then they decide, you know, I see somebody else over there. Let's talk, but I don't have a tongue. And we work on tongues for a few billion years. And then we'll think about a language. And we come around to the DE. They are the most advanced. They've advanced to a level of intelligentsia that no one has ever known in the history of the world, and their faculties of perception are so precise and incisive, no one's ever thought on the level that they've thought. These people back here, these founding fathers, they were great in their day, but evolutionarily speaking, we're advanced from them. We have ideas they could not conceive of. As the evolutionary process goes on, we're at the top rung. That's evolution for you. That's the mentality that is developed from this stupid idea. The founders were men who had conceptualized freedom and its responsibilities. They put their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on the line. And they gave great thought to it, and they were biblically backed. And they knew, therefore, they had run into an inflexible. And they were willing to die for it. They acquired their wisdom through much suffering. They were loyal to the crown, but at the same time dedicated to the higher priority of divine leadership. God had to be in it for it to work. Patrick Henry had this comment in his Liberty of Death speech, and it was part of his opening comments. You see, at St. John's Church, there was a big debate going on as to whether the colony of Virginia should arm its militia. People did not want to take up arms against England. They were the greatest army in the world. The sun never set on the Union Jack. They will clean our plow. We just need to write more letters. We need to have a little more diplomacy with England. Let's write a letter. And all of that went on in the discussion, and Henry sat there and listened to it for a while, and then when he got the floor, he was a house of fire. And he gave that famous speech, and he opened up by recognizing the fact that others had the right to their opinion. Should I keep back my opinions at such time through fear of giving offense, I should consider myself guilty of treason toward my country and an act of disloyalty toward the majesty of heaven, which I revere above all earthly kings. And then he went on. Those who fomented the idea of independence from Britain did not take their role lightly, debating an entire decade over the advantages and disadvantages of severing the ties that bound them to the motherland. It was not the kind of thing that they thought highly of. You don't challenge earthly powers. Not unless there's an inflexible biblical principle involved. And so that debate went on for a decade before they finally pulled the trigger at Philadelphia. In reluctant unison, after long and heated debate, it was at last determined that conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, and God is our trust. That was their doctrinal rationale. And we reap the bounty of their fateful decision this very hour. We, the few, the chosen few at this moment in history, must endeavor to freshen the colors of our national painting. The light which guides us must be that of Bible doctrine. The goal we pursue is the peace, the prosperity, and the happiness that comes to a free people who honor both God and Christ. May this be our motivation personally. May you be motivated to honor God and Christ. May it be your challenge to do so. And the inspiration for all of this as members of the Royal Pivot in a client nation comes from your knowledge of the Word of God. You're inspired to serve the Lord. We are noting in our ongoing study of the Church of the Living God the concept, the mental attitude of service. And the word is doulos. We'll see that in this study too. But the idea is to serve God. And the only way to do that is to know what He would have you do. And the only way to know what He would have you do is to find out what He told us. And that's in Scripture and it's found nowhere else. You can't dream it up in your mind. If I were God, what would I want me to do? That is not the approach. You have no idea what God wants you to do. Not until you get into the Scriptures and you find it enucleated there. Then you find out. And you're going to learn, as many of you have, that when you get into the Scriptures and find out what God wants you to do, it's not what you envisioned in the beginning. It's different. It is different. We are a chosen people separate from the rest of this world. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter their attitudes and opinions. We are the ones who are in a system that will carry us into all eternity, and we have a risen Savior whom we are obligated to serve. And to learn what He would have us do becomes the issue of Christianity. It becomes something you've subscribed to when you believed in Christ. It's not about you. And I'm afraid that so many people come in here and listen to my diatribes as I enucleate these things to you as best I can. It's the spiritual gift I trust, the power of the Holy Spirit I hope. But you go out of here and you allow mental attitudes that you developed over a long period of time to dictate your day. And it's not about you. As goes the pivot, so goes the client nation. Don't look at the doofi that are messing things up. Why are they there? Inversion of thought within the souls of your contemporaries. They voted them in. Some of you may have helped. I don't know. But they're there because Jesus Christ wrote off on it. No one has political power in this world that the Lord doesn't permit in the divine decree for reasons that some people who are tyrants are allowed to rule because the people deserve it. They've rejected the love of God because they rejected Christ. They get what they deserve. Client nations get what they deserve when they honor Christ and make doctrine priority one. But when they forget this and choose not to pursue truth, then evil and the lie rushes into the vacuum. And that vacuum creates erroneous ideas in the souls of men, and therefore they start to ponder things that God doesn't honor. And socialism is one of them. So go down that road. See how that dog hunts. It will hunt for a while, but it bucks the divine system and ultimately must and will implode. Be patient. This cannot work. Now, we all may pay a price for it, for we have bought this farm. And we'll see how it works out. With our victory, we will vindicate the efforts, the wisdom, and the sacred honor of our founding fathers whose blood runs in our very veins. By doing so, we will guarantee by divine decree the life, liberty, and happiness of a free people for generations to come. Well, we're ready to move into a new segment. It's called the Biblical Concept of Freedom. We've noted the concept of freedom in the souls and minds of the founding fathers. Now we'll see how that orients and correlates with the biblical concept of freedom. And we'll pause now for tea and crumpets, and that'll put us back here at 10 till the hour.